It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, time where we're joined by John and Janet. Good morning, JJs.
Good morning.
Nice to speak to you folks once again as the first real day when September 1st arrives. It always slaps me in the face that, yes, we are definitely facing the imminent end of summer.
That's for sure. And the first day of school happened this week, so that gives us a clue, too.
It's absolutely true. Now, we will have warm days. But
so, guys, we should just, say the imminent beginning of autumn.
Yeah.
You know, I come into work now, and for that brief period, I was driving in daylight, and now it's back into pitch black dark. All right. Yeah. Let's go to the pages of the 125-year-old Lakeville Journal today, you're just about finished with that celebration, Janet, the month-long celebration. You got a few more events coming up.
We do have a few more events. And, boy, it really has been wonderful to be able to reach out to our communities with so many events that our Development Committee have put together for this 125th. It's just been great to, you know, meet new people and learn things about each other. So, yeah, we can continue to do that with there are still two more movies at the Movie House in Millerton, Citizen Kane and The Killing Fields, and there will be the Salisbury Forum on September 16th, which will be a discussion of the future of local journalism. Just fantastic. I can't wait for that one. Do take a look at the panel. We couldn't wish for better people on that panel, and Brian Ross, the moderator, our board member and investigative journalist, and, of course, a commentator on Robin Hood Radio.
Yes.
And we have the gala on September 17th at the Lakeville Town Grove.
And people can find out more information on all those at tricornernews.com. And also, your foundation has a website, right?
That's right. It's LakevilleJournalFoundation.org.
And a pretty website it is, too, an easy website to navigate. All right, let's get on to the news. It was nice. Once again, we've always been lucky. Our representative in Congress has always been extremely, extremely flexible in visiting us. And we in the Northwest Corner get lots of visits. And it has continued with Johanna Hayes. She was in the Northwest Corner visiting farmers.
Yes, she came up here last Wednesday and with Jewel Bronow, who is the Deputy Secretary of the USDA, came to East Canaan to the Freund Farm, way back behind the big cow barn next to a cornfield. They set up a tent, and they had lots of audio-visual microphone equipment, and about 40 different kinds of participants, ranging from FFA students to selectmen to farmers. The topics were ranged all over the place, from educational opportunities to climate change, startup costs for farmers, land prices, the issues facing urban agriculture, greenhouse farming, which is taking hold up here in our area, and the drought. But it was a pretty impressive gathering, and there were concerns about a lot of different things, as I mentioned, but one of the big ones was, you know, getting the next generation to be farming in a way that is not your grandfather's farm. Hayes mentioned that the average farmer in the United States today is 58 years old, and there were some farmers there who were clearly, you know, just getting into their 20s.
You know, I think farming is the idea of the family farm is slowly fading, but around here it is not. And when I say around here, I'm not only talking about Northwest Connecticut, I'm talking about Massachusetts and New York. The idea of family farming with modern techniques really is pretty amazing when you look at it. And when you take a look at especially some of the farmers who were at that meeting with Johanna Hayes, and, you know, There's future in it. We're in an area where we're very lucky, where family farms are still able to exist and compete with the big farms that have taken over the rest of the country. The other story, which is a headlining story, is son of a gun, we are back to school here in the tri-state region.
Yes, of course, Monday was the first day, and it was hit by also a fantastic new development, which is 28 new teachers for the school year in Region 1, across Region 1. And we have, I think, a pretty exciting two-page layout of new teachers and staff that includes little bios of each teacher and a photograph of each teacher. And I think it's going to be widely read and probably put up on the refrigerator.
Absolutely. And with the beginning of the new school year, and we'll get into this at another time when the school boards speak, but at the high school, they're going to change their grading system once again and move away from the system that had been in place for, I think, the past two and a half years. So it's exciting. The beginning of a school year is always exciting. I know it's a little depressing for people that are on vacation, the students, but I'm sure the parents, even though summer's coming to an end, the parents appreciate the students getting back into school and also the people who work at all the school systems.
Yeah, we also took a look at the COVID vaccination rates for young children through a story at the Connecticut Mirror, and it's pointing out that because now COVID vaccines are approved for children 6 months to 4 years, the parents are kind of slow to respond. They were a lot quicker when the next grade up was 5 to 9 year olds was instituted. There was a real rush to get those done, but right now there's a bit of a sluggish response. And some of the doctors are concerned that with everybody returning to school, it's a good idea to consider getting a vaccine. The State Department of Public Health is going to be sending around a mobile vaccination unit to 36 schools in the state, and they've also set up to deliver about 2.5 million self-test kits for schools that will be free, and students, staff, and employees, bus drivers, everybody can get one. We combined that story with back to school because it seemed natural.
Absolutely. Well, it's front and center in the center page. We have a new editor of Compass.
Yes, Alex Wilburn. We call him Alex here at the paper. He has been here since 2016. Alex has been doing a number of things. Recently, has been helping with the Lakeville Journal 125 celebration, but he is a very, very talented writer and deeply knowledgeable on culture and arts and entertainment. He has a review of Sheer Madness in this week's paper on page 7, which is really a fun read. But publishing has always been something that Alex has been interested in from high school on, and we're very happy to have him here. And he's the senior associate editor of the paper, but now he will take on the title of editor at Compass. Of course, we all know succeeding Cynthia Hawkslender, and I'll let Janet give you a better tribute to Cynthia if you want an hour when we get to the edit page.
What's that when we get to the edit page and give it the full time there that it deserves? We'll move over to Kent, where they've made a very big financial decision and important decision about state troopers, their school, having the troopers in the school, and when they're not in school, being an additional state trooper. This is not a light investment the town is making.
No, and it's been percolating. This report now is essentially the Board of Selectmen really giving the green light for it to be considered by a town vote. And it's been in the works for a while as a thought. The trooper would be leveraged across both the school and the town, so they're going to spend a couple of $100,000, but they will be able to use the trooper in town for other things when school's not in session. And I think they also plan to engage in a much more robust school safety plan, implementing the DARE, the better decision-making process, and handling school situations whenever they come up. So it's kind of the only town up here that's looking at this.
Well, the interesting thing about it is it is a move that is proactive other than reactive. And it's not inexpensive, but the taxes you pay go to pay for school and to pay for town municipality budgets. So it's going to see if how this succeeds, and I think it will dictate a lot that goes on in other towns as well. But today is a big day in our area, and that is the Vintage Car Parade kicks off this afternoon, winding from, of course, Lime Rock Park into Lakeville, Salisbury, Noble Horizons, back down to Lime Rock, and then to Falls Village for that big parade party.
Yes, it's going to happen this afternoon, and I don't think we will experience it here right at our offices because we're just a little off-center from downtown. But they're coming here, and they will have their big event. We're fully staffing it. And in addition, we will later at some point post a video of the race parade and race car parade and the festival here in Falls Village.
You know, it's so funny. People get out on the parade route, and there are so many videos, because the videos last about anywhere from, I'll say, 8 to 12, 13 minutes, but they're all from different perspectives, and it's one of the, there's a few things that social media are good for, and that's one of them, but it's always nice to see that video. Let's move on here to something that's coming up at GEER, and that is Sharon Hospital. They've scheduled another community roundtable at GEER.
Yes, this one is going to be on September 8th at GEER Village, and Christina McCulloch, the new president of Sharon Hospital, will be there, I believe. Dr. Marshall will also be there. And it is a set for about 20 people because of COVID, so they're going to use the Hollenbeck room, and so they're limited in the number of people. But they will be posting the full recorded session online, and I believe we provide the information in the paper for anybody who wants to register or submit a question.
All right. And coming up in Falls Village, there's another railway talk that's going to be on September 6th at 7 p.m.
Yes, it's the third one of what is called the First Tuesday at Summer at 7 Summer Talk Series. Odd title, but this one is today's Housatonic Railroad with David McGill and Dave Jacobs. They're both photographers of railroads and have authored an article in Rail Fan and Railroad Magazine on this particular railroad. So coming up September 6th, 7 p.m. at the Falls Village Canaan Historical Society.
And we'll remind everybody that the Salisbury Winter Sports Association golf tournament is coming up September 17th. We supply the hole-in-one prizes for that. That's always a good way to help you support SWASA and also maybe improve and have fun with your golf game. One never knows.
Yeah. Improve, yes. That's a big word.
All right. Now, this is a big story out of Kent, and you've got a very big story on this, and that is the sidewalk work has begun, but there are now complaints from residents about the way the work is being done.
Yes. Kent got a DOT grant, $500,000, and implemented a streetscape project that includes some very fancy granite curbing. They've gotten started, really, I think, August, about a week, 2 weeks ago, they got started with this and cutting up the sidewalks and getting ready. And now things are progressing, and there's concerns from the chairman of the streetscape project as well as a local stonemason about how it's coming together. The one issue was that surfaced earlier on was that they couldn't really get the granite that they wanted from New England, so they went to North Carolina to get the granite, different color. But I don't think that's the issue. The issue is the curbing, and so I think we'll keep our eye on this story, but It's going to be beautiful when it's finished, I'm sure, but they're concerned about how it's coming together.
All right. And in Salisbury, I guess after many, 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 many years, they are going to update and change some of the zoning maps.
Yes, this is a big deal. This is going to allow some, you know, property owners to really figure out where their properties are in the zoning map and what options they have for them. It will. It's going to be a more definitive and modernized map. They were, I guess, out of date. So it includes changes in zoning as well as other things, and it's going to be the subject of a public hearing on September 19th. It'll be on Zoom.
And I'm sure that will be a well-attended public hearing.
Yeah, probably.
All right. And you've got a nice picture there, ending the summer with the Salisbury Band.
Yes. Patrick Sullivan covered this event. It was Thursday at 9 o'clock. Thursday at 9 o'clock on September 22nd is when summer officially ends. But the Salisbury Band concert at the Scoville Memorial Library is putatively, you know, putatively sort of considered the ending summer concert. And so Patrick did a lovely job, writing this up for us.
All right, we will move on to the editorial and the letters to the editor pages. And Janet, your editorial is the end of one era and the beginning of another.
That's right. You know, when somebody is in a position for more than 20 years, especially in an area like ours, which is rural and, you know, pretty much a lot of us know one another over the course of time, you can start to take them for granted. And, of course, Cynthia Hoxwender, our former executive editor and reporter in the beginning, and then Compass and special section editor at the end of her career here with the Lakeville Journal, is one of those people who has just been an icon here, and radio listeners will remember her faithfully on the radio every week, full of life and always highlighting the most interesting stories we could find in the area. So we are so grateful to her for all the work she put in over all those years to be sure the papers came out every single week and had interesting and informative news, what people needed to know living in the area, and she is moving on to other adventures and real estate especially. She got her real estate license during COVID and just as, you know, something to do while she was doing everything else, and is now going to be working at William Pitt Sotheby's out of Salisbury, and we will miss her.
Yeah, it's when you have a long-term employee, we lost Maddie McAvoy here after about 10 years, and it's a sad time. But once again, it's like being a parent. You know, sooner or later they're gonna leave the roost and go.
That's right.
And you wish them nothing but the best, and you feel bad when they go. That's just the way it is when you have long-term employees here, especially in this area.
Right. That is true. And so if anyone remembers Cynthia from the radio or knows her, by all means, let her know your feelings about what she's done since 1999 at the Lakeville Journal, and she'd be glad to hear from you.
All right. And once again, I always think back the audio that came from the 50s, letters. We have letters.
Yeah, well, we have four political letters. So if it seems a little early, I don't know. No. I guess it's not, you know. I mean, even for our Connecticut races, they're in full swing, and we have four letters, as well as the Turning Back the Pages historical column by Norma Bosworth, which is fascinating as ever. And we have Peter Riva on the laws of inverse intelligence and irrelevance, a pretty thoughtful column. Don't miss that one. We have Varjan Frangian on rain and the lack of it, and Larry Conklin on generosity in two states. He's writing about Dave and Christine McMillan, you know, who were for so many years were the bastions at the Sunday in the Country food drive. And as you well know, Marshall, you're very involved with it, and Dave and Christine were just amazing. So Larry writes about that. Give it a read, and do support the food drive.
Yeah, they're just starting their major fundraising drive now. They've got a raffle coming up and things like that. But over the years, they've raised anywhere from $15,000 to $25,000 a year. And I think it's been going on for almost 20-some years. So you can, it's raised a staggering amount of money that all goes to benefit people
who
need food.
All goes to benefit people. And so, yeah, just so we understand, it's hard to even imagine how the time goes. He led that, Dave led that drive for more than 26 years.
Yeah.
And so that's a lot of energy and a lot of people who have been helped.
And they've raised over, when you take those years together, well over $600,000.
Yeah.
My
yeah.
goodness. What a difference. And it's continuing on.
Yeah.
They've handed over to Good Rains. Okay, I guess we can go to Compass now and start off with, once again, a lot of things going on.
That's right. Cynthia writes about creating art as a way to find your own truth, and this is Vemolo's latest album, Immigrant. She talks about, and really interesting profile of a young artist from Salisbury who has followed their own path and has just been so creative, and really give it a read and look at the work that they do, and you'll find him, she certainly found him flamboyant, fashionable, and fearless. Completely himself. So by all means, give that a read. We have Dee Solomon, the ungardener, talking about non-native invasives. And boy, it's a pretty intense approach. It always is, getting rid of these invasives, and she describes it really well and has a lot of information on it. So if you're thinking you'd love to get rid of some of those invasives on your properties, give this a read. Cynthia writes about offering water to thirsty birds, that we should think about the birds in our midst during this drought and how they need water, too. There is an article on Black History and America's Remarkable Black Artists, an exhibit at the New Britain Museum of American Art in New Britain. So, I mean, I know many of us have gone by that museum. If we're down in Southern Connecticut, it's time to stop in and appreciate the art of more than 30 American black artists.
All right, and Sheer Madness continues at the Sharon Playhouse.
Yes, and that review is in the paper this week by Alex Wilburn. So by all means, read it, and don't miss that show.
No, it's funny. I recorded a couple of audio pieces, news bits for them, and I know that the show has got to be a sellout because I've had so many people come and say to me, was that you doing the news? Yes, it was me doing it.
Yeah, it's also personal and also part of the community,
yep.
And that's the whole history behind this play, so don't miss it.
And the whole history behind the Sharon Playhouse, as a matter of fact.
Exactly.
They've done a great job continuing on what they've done over the past couple of years. Well, all these stories and more in the Lakeville Journal and Millerton News, both available, of course, for pickup throughout the tri-state region, also online at tricornernews.com. And like we said, you can also get home delivery as well. Guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. This week in the Lakeville Journal, tricornernews.com on the web.